Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Do you all remember murder hornets? You know, those 2-inch long giant hornets that were discovered in the Pacific Northwest a couple years ago? They got their name because of the way they decapitate honeybees. Remember those? How terrified we all were of murder hornets? The internet was on fire about those in May of 2020. Up until last week, I'd forgotten all about them. But then I was scrolling through YouTube and I saw that there was a new video that I liked, a new video of the series explaining the pandemic to my past self. This was the 7th in the series. They're always pretty topical and humorous. They're very dark. For those of you that aren't familiar with this short little video series, it began in April of 2020 when a comedian, Julie Nolke, was stuck at home like the rest of us. And she filmed this brilliant 3-minute video in which she went back in time to try and explain to the Julie of January of 2020 just how much life was going to change for her in those 4 months. The videos are pretty funny, but be warned, they're R-rated. It's the internet after all, so be careful in your Googling. She would do one of these every couple months. Like April would go back to explain to January, and then August of 2020 would explain to April 2020 everything that had happened in those couple months. December to August, you kind of get the idea. There were 6 of them, and now there's a 7th. And the new one prompted me to go back and watch all of them in sequence. It only took about 20 minutes, and I was blown away by how much I'd forgotten about what had transpired in the last 2 years. Murder hornets was just the tip of the iceberg. The Australian wildfires, kind of forgot about those. Those monoliths that just appeared places and then would disappear, forgot about those. The explosion in Beirut, the intensity of the wildfires up and down the West Coast. Do you remember that the Suez Canal was stopped for like a month? All kinds of things that I'd forgotten about. But there were plenty of things that had transpired that was still front and center in my mind. The pandemic, racial uprising and reckoning, the war in Ukraine, economic uncertainty. And that's all the stuff that's just happened to us collectively. Then there's all the personal stuff, the things that we've weathered and endured in our lives the past 2 years. There's been a lot. The list of things that have threatened us and continue to threaten us is long. They're overwhelming. They're painful and they're frightening. And even if the lists that we carry around aren't always top of mind, we still hold that stuff within us. The diseases that you're battling, the loved ones that you're caring for, the children that you're raising alone, the jobs you've lost. It's a lot. It's isolating. And if at times you feel alone, well, that's understandable. Life is hard. It always has been, but it seems especially hard right now. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? In our Bible reading that Pastor Callan read just a little bit ago, the Apostle Paul is writing to this growing church in Rome that he wants to go and see. And over the previous 7 chapters of this letter, he's been laying out his case bit by bit, very methodically, about how he understands God to be at work in the world, uniquely in and through the person of Jesus. And now in this chapter 8, Paul is distilling that understanding down to its essence. You see, Paul's got his own list. Hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Paul is, and he knows that the Roman church is intimately familiar with the challenges of life in this world. Paul has persecuted people, and he's been persecuted. He's thrown people into prison, and he's suffered the indignities of being imprisoned himself. Paul knows that life is messy and complicated and lonely. And yet, when push comes to shove, when he has to explain what God is doing and what Jesus does, Paul says there's nothing. Nothing that can separate you from the love of God, the love of God that is made known to you in Christ Jesus. Nothing. There is nothing on that list that you carry around with you. Nothing on my list. God knows all of it. God has experienced all of it. God knows the fullness of life. And God knows the depth of death. There is nothing in this life that is unfamiliar to our God. Not even that feeling of being abandoned by God. You see, at the close of Mark's gospel, as Jesus is dying on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So if Jesus, as God in flesh, knows what it feels like to experience God's absence, then there is truly nothing that exists in this life that is outside God's realm of knowledge and experience. So then, not only are we not isolated from God in these moments, and these moments that fill our list, but it's in these places of tumult and turmoil, of places of anguish and abandonment, moments of fear and frustration, that we can count on the presence of Christ. In Jesus, God will meet us there. Jesus will be with you. That's the whole point. That's the whole promise. That's the essence of what Paul is trying to convey to the church in Rome. It's the essence of what Paul is speaking to us today. That's why we keep reading these letters. It's what God is saying to you today. You are the one for whom God was born. You are the one for whom Jesus endured the cross and the grave. You are the one for whom Jesus rose to new life. You are the one that God loves recklessly and relentlessly. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor power nor height, nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.